my submission. My name is Philip Mutu of Ngāti Horonga Te Rangi and Ngāti Te Kahu from Ngāpuna, from one of the original Māori settlements of Rotorua. I totally support the proposed Te Arawa Partnership Model and Māori Wards instead of the Te Arawa Partnership Model. My reasons are as follows. It is well known amongst us as Ngāti Whakaue, as part of the Fenton Agreement, that we were guaranteed to be included into the decision-making concerning the Rotorua Township. It did happen, but for some reason it had stopped to this day. We, the people of Ngāpuna, are still suffering today from all forms of pollution, air, land, water and industry, affecting the health of our people mentally, emotionally, physically and spiritually, which no people, regardless of whatever race they are, should have to endure and to endure with and to live with. It is inhumane, it is insane living like this since 1890. Today we are faced with issues like the threat of the proposed Eastern Arterial route that will cut through our homes and through our sacred lands. We were very disappointed when the council allowed the construction of a transfer waste station close to our homes, Marae Church Urupa, bracket cemetery, and our healing Wairiki, bracket bath. Now the council is proposing to discharge treated waste effluents into the polluted Pōringa stream, just to mention a few issues. We once lived around the shores of Lake Tararua before the eruption. At that time we had exploited the world-famous pink and white terraces, our lake, our land, our culture and ourselves. This is why the Mount Tararua eruption happened, according to our tūpuna handed down to us. Today we do not know how long our spiritual kaitiaki, bracket guardian of the Pōringa stream, will remain there because of the ongoing pollution contaminating the stream. It is incredible that Te Rua Mano is still there. We also don't know how long Papa Tūnuku, our Mother Earth, will remain calm and peaceful because of man's greed today, before she unleashes her anger upon all of us. To put into words of today's world, stay very close to your civil defence emergency kit because of any disaster may strike at any time, day or night. Land is a very big issue for our Māori people. In days gone by, we fought and died for our land, for our lands. So when our tūpuna gifted thousands of acres of our lands to form the Rotorua Township, they gave our lands as an act of peace, kindness, sharing, caring, but most of all as an act of aroha or love. Many of the councils from the past to the present day have never ever shown any of these beautiful human qualities towards us, the people of Ngāpuna. We, the people of Ngāpuna, have been ignored, trampled on, and shedded on. Sadly, there is much more to come. We have to endure with and to live with. We, the people of Ngāpuna, are living proof how councils past and present have treated us very badly and very unfairly. Our history with the different councils over the years is reeking with it, as you have all heard this day. Finally, we, the people of Ngāpuna, are also proof that we desperately and urgently need to have in place a Te Arawa Partnership Model and Māori Wards today. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have time for questions. Are there any questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your submission this morning. How many Māori Wards are you thinking of? One, two, three?
Oh, I think it's just going to be a big achievement just to get one. Just leave it until the time when the process does happen for that.
Thank
you. Thank you, Your Worship. Mr. Mutu, good morning. Thank you for your submission. You've mentioned Māori wards there, and obviously if Māori wards are created, that gives full voting rights on full council. Would that not be preferable for Te Aro?
Or whatever is good for Te Aro. Whatever that may be.
Bentley?
Thank you, Mr. Mutu, for your submission. The Maori ward that you're talking about, is that exclusive to Te Aro or is that all Māori?
No, that's included. That's all.
And it's as easy as that when you speak from your heart. And there are no further questions and your time. You've still got time? Did you want to add anything?
No.
No?
Very tired at Ngāpuna. Very tired. Thank you for your time.
Very tolerant. Thank you. Thank you, Philip. For other presenters this morning, a little bell goes at 5 minutes and then again at 9 minutes. So if you want time for questions, we recommend that you cut back your presentation. If you're happy to fill your presentation, then we don't have time for questions. Thank you. Now we call for our next submitter. Luke, you're earlier, but we let it flow because we have some gaps and then we fill it. Good morning, Luke. And for councillors, it's submission 1021 on page 106.
Your Worship and councillors, thanks for the opportunity to speak to my submission today. I don't propose to read the full submission, but only to highlight what I consider to be the most important points. However, I do ask that you read the full submission before making your decision. As some of you are aware, I practice as a consulting surveyor and planner in Rotorua for over 40 years. And during that time, a large proportion of my clients were Maori trusts and iwi-based business entities. One of the problems that they invariably faced was the inability, through either statute or regulation, to be adequately recognised by local government in their decision-making processes, particularly in relation to Maori cultural values, economic well-being, and land and water issues. This is one of the prime reasons why I support a democratic form of iwi representation on council. Part 1.2 of my submission. At the outset, I wish to commend the council for recognising the need to make better provision for local iwi to have an effective role in the governance of the district. I would also like to congratulate Te Aroa for the considerable efforts they have made to come up with an equitable proposal and for the moderate request they have made to improve the partnership with council. Moving on to section 2 of the proposal, 2.1, I have qualified support for the proposed model, parts 2 to 4, but not for all of part 1. In part 1, I support the proposal to appoint 2 board members to each of the Strategy, Policy and Finance Committee and to the Operations and Monitoring Committee. I also support 1 board appointee to the CEO Performance Committee. I don't support the appointed board members on these committees having voting rights, simply because they have not been democratically elected to the council by the general populace, and it is not a legal requirement of either the RMA or the Local Government Act to do so. I don't support bullet point 4 either of part 1, which deals with iwi representation on all statutory hearings committees. The reason for my opposition to this aspect is that whilst the Act provides for qualified commissioners with voting rights to be appointed to these hearing committees, not all panels need comprise elected commissioner qualified councillors or appointees, particularly in cases involving technical issues. And many cases these days, you appoint a specialist technical commissioner. Therefore, I request that the word all be removed from that particular subsection. It's a little bit of a nit point anyway. I have an alternate proposal. Whilst I can support the Council's current proposal, albeit somewhat reluctantly and with the amendments as requested, because it is a first step in the right direction, I consider there are better models that could be adopted. In brief and in no great detail at this stage, I consider a mixed ward and proportional representation model would be more democratic and provide more certainty for Te Arawa and all sections of the community in the council's decision-making processes. Part 4.1. My proposal is to adopt a two-ward system whereby there would be a Māori ward and a general ward. A Te Arawa Māori ward would comprise persons of Māori descent from within the district who voluntarily choose to be identified on the Māori roll of electors and to be able to nominate, stand for and vote for Māori ward candidates in an election. I see no reason why persons of Māori descent who choose not to go on the Māori roll should not be able to stand for and or vote in the general electorate, provided only that they are not on the Māori roll. There is no reason either that Te Arawa could still not have its proposed advisory board under this option. This board would have the ability to represent all of Te Arawa from within the district and to advise the elected Māori ward councillors, and in fact all councillors, on matters of policy and concern to iwi. The general ward would comprise the remainder of the citizens of the district as at present. In both wards, councillors would be elected at large from nominations received. The first-past-the-post mayoral election process could remain unchanged. Proportional representation will also be a feature of this system. For example, in a 12-person council as at present, and based on current population statistics, it is likely there would be four councillors from the Māori ward and eight from the general ward. I believe this to be a transparent and democratic system for all concerned, with the added bonus of having the widely representative elected Te Arawa board alongside in an advisory capacity. Finally, therefore, I request that Council note and have regard to my submissions relating to the current proposal as I've outlined earlier. Alternatively, and my preferred option, is for the Council to reconsider and approve a two-ward proportional representation alternative as I've outlined. Thank you.
Did have a bit more time. That wasn't the finish, Bill. You're right there?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, we'll open for questions. Any questions? Councillor Sturt?
Obviously you've considered your submission very thoroughly. I just want to question you regarding your proposal of a two-ward system, where there'd be a Māori ward of four, as proposed, under current statistics, in a general ward of eight. So I'm a Māori person on the general roll, and I want to vote for the Māori ward. Would I be disenfranchised because I wasn't on the Māori roll?
In that system, yes.
Luke, could I just ask a question? Are you aware that we are going to be going out very soon about electoral reform? And this is a submission that would fit very nicely in that process, because you're suggesting quite a different proposal, really.
Yes, I am aware. Yep. And I was disappointed that Council made a decision in October last year, which basically preempted this process with no consultation, and it was either, putting it crudely, cynical or arrogant of Council to do that, because it's cut off one option that could have been considered immediately.
As a member of the Representation Review Committee, Madam Chair, I agree maybe the submission could be referred to that committee as well, because I think you make some very salient points in terms of representation. All's not lost, Luke. Mm-hmm. We do have the opportunity to recommend to Council options for the 2019 election as well.
Thank you.
Councillor Gould.
Madam Chair, thank you, Luke, for your submission. I'm talking to you about 2.3 with the Statutory Hearings Committee. Would you feel that a iwi representative to that Statutory Hearing Committee would be ruled out in a lot of the land cases around the Rotorua region because of the past donation by the Te Arawa people, gifting of land to the Rotorua Township?
No, not at all. The only point that I made there was that there are technical cases which doesn't necessarily need a iwi representative on it. For example, you heard hearings a couple of years ago for waste management. That was purely a technical issue. Sadly, it impinged on other rights, but that's an aside.
Councillor Donaldson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a bit of a supplementary question, Luke. So you've heard from Councillor Sturt that the earliest possible time to introduce a award system would be October 2019. Would you support some interim model filling the gap, and what shape do you think that might take?
Well, I think the interim model is probably what I've said in the first part of my submission, that I would reluctantly accept that. But I don't believe that you have shut the gate entirely. The decision that you made in October is certainly challengeable.
Councillor Srank.
Chair, Luke, good morning. Just in regard to your, you know, four Māori wards and eight general ward, and I've clearly based that figure on population statistics.
No, I've only suggested two wards, a Māori ward and a general ward. I'm not suggesting that there be four Māori wards.
No, sorry, I meant
representatives,
councillors. So, in view of the fact that there are many Māori, the point being made by Councillor Sturt on the general role, would it not be fairer to have that Māori ward based on the enrolment numbers on the Māori voting? On the Māori role. Because you've got so many Māori on the general role who wouldn't be able to vote for the Māori ward.
But they could. I'm not talking about the general electoral role. I'm talking about your own role, which would be based on ownership and occupancy.
To clarify, that's having our own role.
Correct. Right.
So we don't have our own role, no, because our role wouldn't include people that rent.
Yeah, as I say, I think it's a detail matter that would need to be considered.
It's an interesting one.
Yes.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thanks, Luke. You've done an awful lot of research, obviously. But did you consider a Māori Policy Advisory Board as an option?
Not specifically, other than from what the council had, what the proposal that we're looking at, that you have proposed to the community.
Thank you, Luke, and that's your time up.
Thank you.
And thank you for your submission. Now we ask Sir Toby Curtis, and good morning, and for councillors, that's submission 1055, page 118. Good morning.
Morning. Tihe nakonako, tihe uriuri. Ka puta ki te whai ao, ki te ao marama, tihe mauriora. A quick translation, Madam Mayor, is that, hello everyone, I think we're in for a lovely day. Your Worship, Honourable Steve Chadwick, members of the esteemed council, I feel privileged to speak on behalf of Te Araua Lakes Trust, and for other groups and individuals of the iwi who may not be represented. I wish to acknowledge management staff and other citizens of our city of Te Rotorua Nui a Kahu Matamomoe. Madam Mayor and fellow councillors, you may well ask, why am I so pleased to be here? In 1959, some 56 years ago, I attended a meeting of landowners at Te Mātai Kōtare Marae. The kaupapa was the acquisition of land where our Rotorua International Airport is now located. The mayor was a well-known person, Mr. Murray Linton. We all liked him. At that time, I just turned 20 and witnessed my first council meeting. This, for me, was history in the making. Way back then, council members behaved differently. From what I observed, they acted as a law unto themselves. They made it clear that if there was not agreement to council acquiring the land, they would invoke the Public Works Act. Afterwards, I remember my elders asking, "Why? What is the real value of the airport for the district of Rotorua?" Following a discussion of several hours, they concluded that their children, grandchildren, and generations yet unborn would be the principal beneficiaries, and so it was, the airport came to pass. Today, the boot seems to be on the other foot, madam. A section of the community is prepared to take council to task for considering the proposal as represented by the Tarawa Standing Committee. While it is our democratic right to question council processes and the manner in which business is managed, it is also our democratic right to present any proposal for council to consider. To date, the role of media has been unhelpful. Their contribution to the milieu has allowed the issue to remain in a parlous state as it pertains to race relations. Tauroa iwi appear to be seen in some quarters as splitting the community apart. Despite the level of public attention that this proposal has attracted, I am firmly of the view that there have been constructive strides made toward a positive and progressive future. In the late 19th and early 20th century, Rotorua was next door, as it were, to a number of tribes who suffered severely from overzealous confiscations that resulted in outright land loss. Maori prophetic movements as sites of political resistance were another feature at that time. The era of race relations saw the loss of many lives. Madam Mayor and fellow councillors, as a country and as a nation, we have come a long way in continuing to advance toward our united dream. Today, there are few Maori families who do not have a Pākehā relative. Likewise, there are a greater number of Pākehā families who now have a Maori relative in the mix. To me, the proposal speaks for itself, but more importantly, it is the work of a younger group of Maori leaders who will take Tarawa and our district into the future. I wish to thank them on behalf of Tarawa for putting together in a relevant and substantive way their thoughts to promote Tarawa economic strategies that will strengthen and develop our city. I believe this would not have occurred if you as a council had not allowed them the scope and stimulus to pursue such a course. Rather than adopt the pathway of their earlier forebears to actively resist, they have opted for an approach similar to that promulgated by Freire, who said, first conscientize, second critique, third plan, and fourth act. Ladies and gentlemen, they have acted in a responsible, respectful, and caring manner. It is with deep respect I salute them. To conclude, I would like to thank them for biting the bullet at the risk of a sector of our community reacting in the manner that they have. I say that because this will happen when Tarawa board wanted the lakes returned to Tarawa. I'm disappointed that some of the information that was paraded by this group is misleading and falls short of the mark. It's a pity, because a good debate deals with the facts. Again, Your Worship, I for one want your Rotorua Lakes Council to sanction the proposal for a variety of reasons. Tarawa's fiscal attitude is one of extreme caution. In fact, Tarawa's strength is also its weakness. It is prone to being highly risk-averse. Several years ago, I engaged Te Puni Kōkiri to provide a report on the asset base of the iwi. Following a six-month survey that included an estimate of untapped resources, the estimated figure arrived at was $6.5 to $8 billion. This is how much Tarawa is worth. Pukerua Oruawhata, because of Ngāti Whakaue, being a significant landowner, has an investment portfolio in the central area of the city. It is on an exponential growth path. The rest of Tarawa await the right time and opportunity to participate. Madam Mayor, to you and your fellow councillors, I keenly await your decision. Kia kaha koutou kia tātou. Kia kaha tātou kia tātou. Our council, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Sir Toby. We have time for questions. Councillor Sturt.
Firstly, Sir Toby, thank you for your considered submission. I just wonder if you could share your experience in terms of the lake strategy, where you in a tripartite arrangement with the Regional Council and the Rotorua District Council are at the table with the ideal of ensuring that the Rotorua lakes are cleaned up and tidied up and are managed in a proper way. Just wonder if you could share with us, because we obviously don't go to the meetings, how that is conducted and how Te Arawa feels engaged in that process.
Thank you, Councillor Sturt. Could I say at the beginning, because I just come back from Auckland and live back home again, I was brushed off. I was quite annoyed that Tarawa, who should have been 100% on that committee, ended up with 33 1/3%. And so I moaned and groaned. And I was moaning and groaning at one hui, I think it was at Whakarurua, one of the guys who was on the former board pulled me up, I think it was Rangi Hewa, Amari. He said, look, you could quite well be right, and history would probably say so. But could I say, you at least have a structure in place, make it work. And so from going on being part of a council I didn't want to be on, it is one of the best councils I am serving on. Why? Because we all help each other to develop a deep sense of trust, and we will not make any decision unless everybody agrees.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Sir Toby, for your well thought out submission. How do you suggest we balance the power proposed for Mana Whenua with the democratic rights of all citizens?
I looked at that one, and I looked at what the real essence was with council's role. Council still has the power. They can override anything that any committee suggests. I have no problem with that. If they don't like what Tarawa is saying, they can tell them to jump. And probably they'll tell them to jump because it's an useless submission. I have no problem. You do have the plan, you do have the process, and the council has the power to reject or accept.
Gould was next, and then Councillor Maxwell. We have run over time, but in the interests of Sir Toby being before us, I'll allow these two questions.
Thank you, Your Worship, for allowing us a few extra minutes. Thank you for submission this morning, Sir Toby. In your submission, you haven't stated, do you feel there's any other options which you can go, can be made, or was that the only submission, only way forward?
No, I thought about that. It seems that you have enough of a problem with just this one submission. Why should I add to it?
That's our challenge. Councillor Maxwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tuatahi ke te mihi au ki a koe e Tarangatita Taubi. My question is, as the head of our democratically elected Te Arawa Lakes Trust Board, is there a united support, no division amongst us, for the support of the proposed option two in this submission?
Well, it seems from the meeting that there's total support. But if you speak to some individuals, they will have their views. I know two prominent colleagues who do have a different view. But it is not a view that is unsimilar to what this proposal is asking. At the end of the day, we want to share in the power decision-making, and their position is mainly that. I think one of them was talking about the situation that we have with the iwi leaders and the Crown. That I'm very fortunate to be a part of. I'm very impressed by the way the processes have evolved. There's been no voting, and yet we're doing it. I think it's just as a matter of relationships that have emerged. I think we trust each other, although I know many people will never trust the Crown when they make up their own decisions. But we do trust the process, and what we do have to put up with, of course, is the inordinate time to take us to get a yes. But everyone is working towards the same outcome.
Thank you, Sir Toby, and presented so easily to understand.
Thank you.
I now ask the next submitter, Ruth Gadgil, submission number 1083, page 123. Welcome.
My name is Ruth Gadgil. I've lived in Rotorua for 50 years, and during that time I've been a research scientist at the Forest Research Institute. I want to make three points as forcefully as possible. The first is about apartheid. Apartheid is segregation or discrimination on the grounds of race. I've been an activist in my opposition to it. I marched against the 1981 racist rugby tour. I've been happily married for more than 50 years to a person of a different ethnic origin. On the face of it, the Te Arawa partnership proposal appears to offer the benefits of association and sharing, but it has already caused great divisiveness in our community. At present, we have a hard-won system of equal opportunity for all in the government of our local body affairs. Acceptance of the proposal would be discriminatory because it would give additional voting power to one select group. In this, it would set a precedent which would be very difficult to reverse. To me, it would be an example of apartheid. My second point is about partnership. The word partnership implies inclusiveness, reaching out to another entity. The Te Arawa people are not another entity. They are part of our community, and at present they share equal electoral rights with the rest of us. The proposed arrangement is exclusive, not inclusive. It would offer a privilege to one group and deny it to all other members of our community. It is not a partnership. It is a separation. The third point is about Te Arawa. This proposal is not about partnership with Māori. It would exclude all Māori who are not Te Arawa. I acknowledge that Te Arawa have much local knowledge and wisdom, and I appreciate the fact that they are willing to share this with us. But acceptance of a privilege that is not accorded to other tribes seems to me to encourage apartheid within Māoridom. I believe that all people who live in the Rotorua Lake District should have the same opportunity for expressing their views. Thank you for listening. If the partnership goes ahead, I may not have an equal right to be heard in the future.
Thank you. Are we open to questions? Councillor Maxwell, then Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Ruth, for your presentation. Just three quick things in that. Said that you used the word apartheid, but so be it. But the question I have is, for some years now, we've had already unelected people on our council committees, audit and risk, the tourism committee, but we don't hear any complaints made by people out in the community regarding that. And the other one is, sorry, you
could
mentioned
that... Could I answer that?
Oh, I thought I'd do my tea.
Is that all right? Hmm? I do understand that those people did not have voting rights.
They do. On the committee, they do, similar to what is proposed there.
I won't be discussing. Ask your next question.
Someone else can answer that. Then.
Just ask your next question, Councillor.
And the next one is, I'm sorry you didn't read the proposal properly. They did take into consideration Mā Tāwaka, which is people who are not Te Arawa, for consideration. It wasn't just exclusively for Te Arawa.
Then why is it called the Te Arawa Partnership Proposal?
They are the group that's putting it forward. Oh, sorry.
You don't ask questions of councillors. It's for councillors to ask you questions.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise that.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Otherwise, we get into interchange and it's very difficult to adjudicate. Are there any other questions, Councillor Sturt?
I've got two questions. Thank you, Ruth. Based on your submission and the tenure of your submission, you would not support separate Māori wards.
In my written submission, I supported the proposal that had been made by the Pro-Democracy Society. Since then, I've been thinking a little more about it, and I feel that the idea of Māori wards would be more fair.
It would involve all Māori. Okay.
That would involve all Māori and not just Te Arawa.
And are you aware that the District Health Board, which represents Rotorua and Te Aupo, has Māori appointed people on that who get paid an allowance and get paid mileage allowance and have operated that way for 8 years. Have there been any problems, to your knowledge, with the representation on the District Health Board?
I wasn't aware of the detail of this. I'm not aware of problems. My concern is strictly with voting rights.
Oh, other questions? Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you very much.
And now, Peter Gadgil. You're welcome. And for staff, for councillors, it's submission 1084, page 124. Good morning, Peter.
Morning. My name is Peter Gadgil. I'm a forestry scientist. And I have been here exactly the same length of time as Ruth, about 50 years in Rotorua. I have just straight two major points which I want to bring out. I oppose the proposal. And the first one you must have heard hundreds of times by now. It's because we have a democratic form of government in New Zealand. What is proposed here is an element of oligarchic form, which is repugnant to those who follow democracy. And simply on that basis, I oppose giving power of voting on major committees of the council to unelected people. My second point is that the council has made a great deal of fuss about this proposal being required because of the requirements of the Local Government Act 2002. This proposal, in fact, contravenes it. The Local Government Act requires that all Māori be given facilities to influence the decision-making capacities and processes, rather, of the council. This one tries to restrict it to one single tribe, in that it contravenes the provisions of the Act. And that is all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Do we have any questions? Well, Councillor Gould.
Thank you for your submission this morning, Peter. I have read your submission. Are you in favour of Māori wards or a community board, Māori Te Aroha community board?
Well, yes. If we have Māori wards, which are in proportion number of electors, the voters on that particular electorate, I have no objection to it. It's a democratic process. So you could either have Māori wards or you could have an advisory committee, again, elected, but all Māori in this Rotorua District Council area, which gives them a voice. I have not really thought deeply enough to say which one is better than the other. I wouldn't like to say that. If we're going to discuss it, then I'll have to think of it rather great detail.
Councillor Maxwell.
Thank you for coming in your submission. You mentioned that you've been over 50 years in Rotorua now, both you and your good lady. Have you had much dealings with Te Arawa and the Māori of our district?
Well, as I said, I work in forestry. And in my dealing with forestry, I've come across a very large number of Māori people who are also engaged in forestry, especially as workers. And I had never, ever inquired what their tribe was. It was not the issue. But I'm aware that this happens much later because of the money different tribes have. A large number of them are Tainui, very large number. In fact, the greater proportion are Tūhoe. And we certainly had some Tūwharetoa and a few who would not admit it readily, but Ngāpuhi.
Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Peter, for your submission. Listening to your elucidation of what you had put in, so you are opposed to appointees having voting rights?
Yes.
But you're in favour of democratically elected Māori wards?
Oh, yes, I have no objection to that at all. No.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Did my apology for lateness go in?
We will record it.
I did ask for that last week. I just want to ensure. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just good morning, Peter, and thank you for your submission coming in today. I just wanted to check with you. It does say in your reasoning that you're opposed to unelected people having voting rights. Yes. Do you have an objection to unelected people sitting on the committee and having their opinion put forward without voting rights?
I think it would depend on how many you had. If they were undue influence, no. But if simply to give views, of course not. I think it's a very good idea.
So the proposal was the two. There was an argument that we could have two people with voting rights or perhaps two without to give advice. Yes. A little bit like we have with our Lakes Community Board.
Yes. No, I have. Without voting rights, I have no objection whatsoever. No.
Could I ask, I take the last question, let everyone else have a turn. Why, in your view, would the Māori Advisory Committee be stronger than the Te Arawa Standing Committee, which was, in effect, an advisory committee?
Well, the proposal for the advisory board would be one elected by all Māori in Rotorua, not merely a Te Arawa body. And I would hope, although perhaps it might be too sanguine, that there would be greater agreement between people if there were different tribes mixed up, rather than little, how you get family quarrels within the family, which might be avoided. I don't know. I might be wrong in thinking that, but that's part of my reasoning.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we could continue. Is John Pakes here? No. So it looks like we do need to rise for morning tea. We'll take a morning tea break and reconvene at 10:30. Thank you. In 15, but the next speaker isn't here till 10:50. We'll try. They may arrive. They'll be ringing forward.